together we're arguing about the things that really matter in games. And this week, we're doing a bit of a catch-up episode, because it's been a while since we recorded one of these. You've been away doing... Well, why don't you tell everybody?
Yeah, I've been at Glastonbury Festival, which I suppose is like the UK version of Coachella, but it's more hippie and left-wing than that, so more Woodstock than Coachella, I'd say.
Yeah, fair enough. And I have not. Yeah. I have not. I was working in the hospital as it was all going on, and they bring down a lot of the injuries from Glastonbury to our hospital, and we had so many broken ankles in
really?
From all the mud, and yeah, it was rather busy night.
Yeah, my friend was DJing at the Greenpeace stage, and he had a fellow DJ who came all the way from like Belgium or Sweden or somewhere. And then on Wednesday night, which is, I mean, I get there on like Saturday before, but the festival actually opens on Wednesday. And so this guy arrived on Tuesday because he was crew and broke his ankle on Wednesday. He stayed on site, yeah. He DJ'd but couldn't leave his field.
You don't need your ankle for DJing, do you?
No, exactly. But my friend Matt was pretty pissed off because he's like, I haven't been anywhere. Because he had to nurse this guy.
God.
So, yeah, it was ankle deep mud pretty much for 10 days. Yay. but no games at all at Glastonbury Festival.
Nope.
So,
didn't take a DS or a Game Boy along or anything?
No, no, because there's just so much to see and do. And it's nice to just leave the world behind. It's sort of like going down the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
It's just so crazy and weird. So, yeah, it's nice. And then I have to come back and catch up. And that's what we're doing now.
Yeah, precisely. So, yeah. Well, I mean, you know what I've been up to. You've seen my PlayStation history.
Yes.
I've fallen into a hole. A Dark Souls hole. Yeah. I think I've spent in the last month, I've discovered and spent about 140, 150 hours over the last couple of months just playing Dark Souls.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. Well, I could. Yeah. When I logged into my PlayStation, I was like, oh, I'll just see who's playing what. I was like, oh my God, Drew is back on Dark Souls.
Yeah, well, you've only seen the half of it, because that's Dark Souls 3 I've been playing on the PS4, and I've also been playing the first one on PC, and I've spent roughly equal time on both of them, I think. I've done two playthroughs each.
I did think. I went into Steam, and I was like, oh, that's weird, because there's Dark Souls on Drew's Steam thing when I look at my friend's thing. I was like, oh, weird.
Oh, no, I've been double dipping.
Okay. It's worse than I thought. Okay, so...
Yeah, it's one of those games that's always sort of been like in my periphery. I've had the PC version just from a sale in my Steam library for a couple of years now. And I tried it a couple of times, and I bounced off it sort of reasonably quickly each time, because it there is a bit of a wall to get into it. So it's always been filed away in my brain as that game which is probably amazing but too hard for me to really commit to, you know? The way I've heard it described, which I thought was really apt, is that it can be disrespectful of your time. It'll kill you, and it'll make you trudge through the same bit over and over. And, you know, I've got other things to do with my life. And then I came back to it about, well, it must have been 2-3 months ago now, and it clicked. And now I think it might be the best game I've ever played. The first one, anyway. The top three, easily. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's fantastic. It's big, it's deep, it's meticulously designed throughout. It's clever, it's funny and when it needs to be, and it's like fantastically rewarding. And I think the big myth about the thing that everyone knows about Dark Souls is it's really hard, you know. And it's actually not that hard. Like, there are definitely some tough boss fights and stuff like that, and there are definitely hard bits, but on the whole, it's like really only tough at the beginning while you're learning it. And one of the things that's so fun about it is that it's a fantastic teacher. It's strict in the way it teaches. It's like training with you've seen Kill Bill.
Mm-hmm.
Jaime out of Kill Bill. It's like training with him. It's a really hard, unforgiving, unrelenting master, and if you screw up, it punishes you. Back you go. But the thing about that
Yeah.
is, it's really not long before you stop screwing up, and from then
Okay.
on, it really isn't all that hard. And I know this because I'm not an insanely competent gamer. I'm not that good, and I've beaten everything in Dark Souls and Dark Souls, like
Okay.
even the super hard optional things. You don't have to be good at it because it trains you so incredibly well. And then there's this really cool moment then when you start your second playthrough, which once you've done your first one, you have to do a second one. Or at least I did. And like you get through the first sort of non-tutorial area of the game, which is something that took you an hour, maybe 2 hours to get through your first time through the game. And this time you just dance through it. Like it takes you 5 minutes. That's all. Which is what I
Okay.
mean about it being rewarding. It's really good at showing you how much you've improved and making you
Yeah.
feel good about yourself. It's got a very sort of great dopamine release sort of reward sort of thing, you know?
Brilliant. That it does make me. I've always just dubbed it punishment gaming, and just thought, it's not for me. Because yeah, I mean, like you, I'm not a sort of adrenaline gamer
No.
who's just like on it, kind of. So I was just like, oh God, it'll just be like hell
Yeah.
for me because I just can't raise to the,
And that's exactly what I thought, you know, and that's why I've tried to play it like three times and just never got into it before. But there is a lot to it than just being punishment. Like the other thing I love about it, and I'll stop in a minute because I could start about eight different topics with that thing. But what I really love is the world design, like specifically in the first one. It's a deceptively big game. It's very intricate and well connected, and it tells a story really well through the environments and locations and items that you find without ever making the story explicit. And if you go on YouTube, you can find there are loads of people who do Dark Souls lore videos, which have, you know, they take like just these little elements from the game, the little item descriptions or things that you might see which seem a bit out of place in the area, and they put them together and tell the stories of characters in a way that's correct, and it's obviously that's what's meant to be going on in the game, but
Oh, that's
it
cool.
just doesn't make it up front. It does it through the environment. It's there if you want to see it, and if you don't, then that's fine. You'll get to the end. You might be a bit confused by the ending, but you'll still have enjoyed the game. Then when you go back to it and you start looking through it again, you say, actually, this is quite an interesting and well-told story. It's just, you've got to go looking for it.
I have quite enjoyed watching your little snippets that you put up
Yeah.
on Twitter, and I see them in the PlayStation 4 dashboard type thing.
Yes.
And I had to call Dave, my boyfriend, and you were just like wander into this room, and there's this big dark spiky guard with his back to you looking at a painting or something.
Yeah.
And you kind of like trot in, and then you go, oh, what's he looking at? And you sort of trot a bit closer, and then there's this noise, and you just kind of
Yeah.
spike through, and it's like blood splash over.
And like, yeah, that's a fantastic moment. That's what I sort of mean about Dark Souls being very funny.
It is. It's
But again,
humorous.
that's a
It's really
great
funny.
example of how deep it is, because the character that you're sneaking, well, not character, but the enemy that you're sneaking up on there is an enemy from the first game, from Dark Souls 1, and the painting that he's looking at is a painting of Guinevere, who is a character from Dark Souls 1, and the timing of that arrow is perfect, because if you've played Dark Souls 1, you know what you're looking for. You sneak up behind him and you notice it's that enemy, and you notice that it's that character on the wall, and it causes you to stop and think, why is he so interested in a painting? And then boom, you've got an arrow. It's just a per it's a really well told joke.
Oh,
Yeah.
excellent. Yeah. I mean, I got the joke not knowing anything about
Oh,
it.
I
It
know.
was
Yeah.
just, it was hilarious. So funny. I just watched that over and over. It was so funny.
Yeah. It
It
is great, and
was
it's just that there's an extra layer to it, if you know you're familiar with the
Yeah,
Souls series.
yeah,
I think it's great.
yeah.
But yeah, I think
Yeah.
that's not all I have to say about it. I could go for another
No.
hour, but I'm gonna have to stop there, otherwise I
Yeah.
will.
So I want to talk a little bit about the EU referendum results.
That famous game.
I know it doesn't seem like it's about games, but I've like wangled away that it is. But just because it's really important prism that people are looking at the UK. And we're kind of representing the UK here in our little podcast, Argue the Toss.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was kind of weird being at Glastonbury because the vote happened. And then on Friday morning, I checked Twitter and I was like, oh, that's weird. Why is hashtag Brexit trending? And then I was like, followed the link, and I was just like, woke Dave up. It was quite early. I was like, Dave doesn't wake up.
Yeah.
I was like, holy shit, I think we've left.
Yep.
And then, and the whole festival just felt was under a fog, a gloom.
Yeah, that was the first thing occurred to me was that Glastonbury was going to there was going to be a bit of a poll over it.
I imagine
that the average sort of Glastonbury audience member tended towards the Remain camp.
Yeah, apparently the Times did a poll and it was 83% was Remain. Oh, yeah. So I've been sort of just following what's going on, and then David Cameron resigned from leading the Tory party. So at the moment, it looks like Theresa May is currently in the lead to be sailing into number 10. And this morning, I think it was the headlines this morning, she kind of refused. People called for her to reassure EU residents living in the UK that they wouldn't be automatically chucked out. And she failed to do that in, she used like vague politician speak to kind of skirt round it.
Yeah.
And I've just been thinking about, you know, what Brexit might mean for the games industry in the UK and Europe and stuff like that. And, you know, so there'll be people, because the games industry is quite an international in terms of our teams, the diversity of nations in teams is quite good, really. I mean, you only have to look at Ubisoft's kind of little spiel it does at the beginning of all its games, that, you know, it's multicultural, multinational.
Yeah.
So there will be people like UK workers in Europe wondering if they're going to be able to stay in that country and work in their job, and then EU workers are working for UK dev teams and publishers who are, you know, just like, so I just wanted to like put a shout out to those people, you know, thoughts to them, anyone in the industry who's affected by that uncertainty, really. It's a bit of a bummer.
Yep.
And also we just want to let you know that we're not all sort of drawbridge raising loons over here.
No, absolutely.
We want to keep everybody out. So there we go. And will we have to pay even more for games than we do already Britain?
I think possibly we do, because I mean, what one of the ways that I've always bought games is through imports. And free consoles. If it's cheaper to get a game in America than import it, then I've always done that. But now the pound has sort of crashed against the dollar, so that's no longer so much of an option.
Yeah,
which is kind of a selfish way to look at it. I can't get my cheap games anymore. But
I know, but we do pay over the odds for everything here.
We do.
So you know, Europe might reply in kind for whatever sanctions we bring down or whatever Theresa May comes up with, so who knows. So so that's Brexit. Let's move on to happier things.
Yep.
Back to games. When I came back, you recommended Oxenfree.
Funnily enough, that is sort of connected with Brexit for me, because the night that it happened, I stayed up all night. I was I watched the whole thing, and I was playing Oxenfree in the other monitor, which was it took my mind off it a little bit. I recommended that because I thought it was right up your alley, because I know you enjoyed Everybody's Gone to the Rapture. And we talked about Life is Strange, I don't think on the podcast, but we've definitely discussed that at some point. And like the thing that jumped out at me about that game was that it seemed to be sort of just a mushing together of those two games. It's got a very similar sort of sci-fi concept behind it. It is different, but it's sort of in a similar vein, and it's got a sort of teenage teenagers written by adults sort of game that life.
yeah. It was actually, it's good. It was actually on my list of games to play this year. I just re hadn't realized it had come out.
Yeah.
It kind of slipped out quietly. So when I had a look, because I've got a post-it note on my PC desktop, and I was like, oh, that's on there. That was a good prompt to play it. So I've almost played to the end. I couldn't get quite to the end for the
We
podcast.
can't talk about my favorite bit, but okay.
No, we can talk about it at the beginning of the next one and go, for anyone who listened to the last episode.
We could do a little spoiler section at the end of next episode, see what we thought of it. But yeah, I mean, I've got some other stuff to say about it. I thought it was really good. I really enjoyed it as a sort of 5 or 6 hour experience. I thought it was a really nice little world to escape to, and I liked the characters in it to an extent.
Yeah, I mostly like them.
Yeah, I had some problems with with the dialogue system, where there were lots of points where characters would be having a conversation, and you would get a prompt to say something, and if you say it, it interrupts the conversation.
It cuts them
And
off.
if you don't choose to say anything or you choose to wait, it starts fading and you can lose that option. Which, I mean, there's not much reason to do that. It does come into play really well, sort of mid-game, where there is a heated argument going on, and it works really well there. But I don't see why that was implemented in the rest of the.
No, I mean, I did keep missing choices. It's like blink and you miss it. It's so quick, the dialogue choices. And you're just like, you've like taken a sip of water or something. It's like, oh my God, I've missed a dialogue. And
Oh,
then
plants
they
don't.
go, oh, okay, be like that or something. And you're like, no, I didn't mean that.
And like I say, I had the Brexit vote going in the other window, and I just glanced over occasionally to see how the country was doing, and I glanced back and I would have missed something, and someone would be like, "Oh, well, don't say anything then." Just like the
I'm sorry, there was just big things
sorry.
going down.
I find the tone of it is occasionally quite strange. It's like there are very weird, scary things happening, but all of the characters are always quite quick with a light-hearted wisecrack, even when there's like really weird stuff going on.
I did feel that there wasn't much emotional range, I have to say. Either and from Alex, the lead, when you make a choice, it doesn't really affect her emotions,
That's true.
even if it's to like abandon one of your people or to or you know say something really mean or whatever, upset someone or it's just kind of on a real level, which is a bit strange.
And again, it's got that the Life is Strange thing of like being written by adults who know, vaguely what it's like to be teens, but don't remember it. It doesn't apply to,
No.
current generation teenagers,
Yeah.
and that there are things that feel out of place, and it's inconsistently written in places as well. There's the one I can't remember his name. The other male
Yeah.
character, not the stepbrother,
Jonas.
no, the
Oh, Ren.
Ren. That's it.
Ren.
He eats like 2 pot brownies over the course of the game, and
Yeah.
doesn't become noticeably high, except for comments that he makes about how high he is. He doesn't sound high. He doesn't act high. He's just like, oh, I'm
Yeah.
feeling terrible now, or whatever it is he
Yeah.
says. And the other thing that did annoy me, and this happened right at the start, which so it like it colored my perception of the rest of the game, was it offers you character choices which it then sort of yanks from under you. And the example that I can think of is early on, where you can accept or decline a cigarette from Jonas. And I
Oh,
thought, all right, my interpretation of this character is that she probably would smoke. So I took one.
me too.
And then the Ren is like, oh, what are you doing? You don't smoke. And I said, oh, don't I? I didn't know that before.
That was really
She goes,
weird.
well, I do now. And then she takes one puff and chokes on it, because of course she does. And there's no story reason for that to happen. It never comes up again. The
No.
only purpose it serves seemed to be just to shut my character decision down, which I did. But I'm going over all the negatives, but I did really enjoy it, and I thought it was a really cool, nice little sci-fi story.
My niggle was right at the beginning. The conversation they had about her having a stepbrother. They acted like I don't know. Like, it was the strangest thing in the world.
Yeah.
It was just bizarre. They were like, oh, isn't that a bit weird? So what is he to you then?
Yeah.
It's like, well, I think officially it's a stepbrother, isn't it? It's just like, what?
Yeah.
Where do they live? In, like, Stepford or something?
And the thing about that moment was that I hadn't been paying that close attention to the dialogue previously, and I wasn't quite sure who they were talking about.
Right.
But, okay, I think there's an I don't know option there. And so I picked that, and it was like, oh, you don't know who you don't know what
right. is to you? But I mean, I did, but then there were some bits of the dialogue which I really liked. Some bits were really funny, and, you know, I did like most of them. you know, I really liked Ren and Jonas, yeah. Actually.
I wasn't so keen on Ren.
I
didn't really click with his character, and it was kind of because he was portrayed as a stoner, or someone who, you know, occasionally gets high, and I know stoners. I didn't buy it. He didn't feel like a genuine character to me.
No, I see from that point. But he did have some funny little lines.
Yeah, he
did. You know, he was kind of happy-go-lucky and stuff. And I quite liked that because everybody else was quite earnest.
Yeah.
I quite liked his kind of quips over the radio and stuff like that. It was just this kind of silly one.
That's a nice little mechanic as well. I thought the radio,
you can
use it for specific things in the game, but as you're walking around, there are just other things that you can tune into which are quite interesting, and just environmental stuff and just little additive bits that you can find if you go looking for them, but they're not necessarily vital to the story.
I did like listening to the radio station bits and trying to see if they were clues as to what was going on, or if it was just,
Like, there's a Morse code station in there, which I didn't bother to translate because why would I? But I imagine that says something quite interesting. And I would imagine of the other weird ones you could, like the kind of game this is, I bet you could record those and put them into a spectrograph analyzer and it would come up with an image, or it would come up with some text or something. There's a lot of hidden information in the radio, you know, even beyond the stuff that is there for you to find if you go looking for it.
Yeah, I did like the radio. It was a good touch because it added kind of spookiness at times and then lifted things at times if you found some nice music, some sort of like 20s jazz or something. But then there were these weird, you know, it was kind of a bit like Lost kind of thing, sort of bunker in Lost type thing, like weird messages and then just like growls and like distortions and things. It was quite, it was cool. I'm not sure if I ever got to exactly the bottom of what I guess we'll do that when we tackle the ending. I've actually done the ending.
There's more to find. It is confusing. I think it is constructed properly. They don't just leave stuff hanging. I think there is it's cohesive.
It's satisfying.
It is complex, and there are bits you can miss, I don't think you will.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah, I enjoyed that, and I really liked the way it looked, like a sort of storybook kind of look to it, sort of dark colours and sort of dark greens and greys and purples and stuff. It reminded me of some children's book from my childhood, but I can't remember what it is. But yeah, it was cool. And I liked the animation as well. Like when they walk down a slope, they kind of lean back into the slope so that they don't sort of fall down it.
I mean, I think the character models themselves, I mean, it's a 2D sort of adventure game style, point and click style sort of thing. But the characters are rendered in 3D, I think, which allowed them to do a lot of fun little effects like that, which you couldn't do with sprite art.
Yeah, it was cool. It's a nice little game. So a recommend from us, I think.
Yep, I think it's definitely worth experiencing. It's a nice little ghost story, well written,
it
fun
is.
To play.
Yeah.
Despite some sort of just little problems with it, it's good. I liked it.
Oh, my favourite bit was when Jonas has to pee.
Oh, yeah.
That. I love that bit. It was so good. That was so good.
Let's not explain that bit anymore.
No, no. So if you're intrigued, when Jonas
Jonas
has to
has to
pee.
pee, laughs coming.
Let us know when you've seen that bit. So anything else you
I've got
wanted to
one
touch on?
smaller other thing to talk about.
Okay.
Now I know you picked up. I haven't played the Stanley Parable
Oh
recently,
yeah,
which
I picked that up in one of the Steam sales. I don't know if it was this one
I
or
reckon we could do a good podcast about that if we hadn't missed the boat by about 2 years. But yeah.
I don't think that really matters with indie games though, does it? Because they're those things that you discover on your own. They don't have like big press
I think
releases
the
and
Stanley
sort
Parable sort of did. That was very much in
I
zeitgeist
suppose it was quite big.
for a month or so.
Yeah, but I'm totally fine with covering old ground when it comes to indies because there's so many that you just can't catch them all the day they come out
That's true.
because there's like 100 other ones.
Yeah.
So yeah,
In any case, sorry,
sorry,
yeah, I'm sorry.
I was ranting.
Flubbed that a little bit. In any case, I bought the in the Steam sale. I bought The Beginner's Guide, which is a game by Davey Reedon, who's the guy who wrote or co-wrote the Stanley Parable, and it's really interesting. It's not a traditional game at all, which is what you'd expect from the writer of the Stanley Parable. It's sort of difficult to describe what it actually is for a lot of reasons. Like the whole thing is narrated by Davey Reedon as himself, as opposed to having a sort of narrator character voiced by someone else in the Stanley Parable. And as himself, he takes you on what amounts to an annotated tour of small first-person games created by a developer friend of his named Coda, which have never been released in any other format than sort of private sharing between him and Davey Reedon. And it's a really sort of interesting exploration of both game design and the drives and emotions of like this developer himself. And like really to say anything more about it beyond that would be to reduce the enjoyment you get out of it. It's something you really want to experience blind. It's only about 2 hours long and feels like it's designed to
Okay.
be played in one sitting. And
Yeah.
like I actually don't feel like it achieves what it's aiming for. It's certainly got a point that it's going for, and I don't think it makes that point very well. But it's still a really interesting, unique thing that's worth experiencing, especially if you have any sort of interest in game design. And I think like Davey Reedon's work in general is interesting if you're interested in game design because like he experiments with the form really. In the case of the Stanley Parable, I think really successfully, maybe not so successfully with this one, but it's still an interesting experiment which is worth examining because it will sort of trigger a lot of thoughts and ideas for you, even if it doesn't actually bring them home.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so I thought that's available on Steam, by the way.
Okay, that's on Steam now, so check that out. So yeah, just before we go, I will add one to the pot as well, and this is one that I got to review. So I've played about 20 minutes of it. It's called 1979 Revolution, and it is basically set in Iran in 1979 as the revolution starts, and you follow a I think he's like a photojournalist, but they are sort of pro democracy. Him and his friends are the sort of rebels against the regime at that time. And the bit that I played, it starts with him with his camera and stuff, and then he gets caught and he gets interrogated. But it's quite a brutal, scary interrogation scene in it. So far it looks really great, really interesting, gritty, serious, adult political themes, and also relevant to today. So yeah, it's something I'm going to finish, and yeah, hopefully it will be. It looks beautiful as well. It's sort of like a very painterly kind of style.
I mean, we were talking about it before the podcast and
Yeah.
had a look at the website, and it's got a really sort of great looking sort of art style, which I'm I'm quite interested in playing that. I might give that a go myself. Maybe we could talk about it next time.
Yeah, it was pretty brutal. That interrogation scene was like, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna have to sit down and give this some time.
Yeah.
So that is 1979 Revolution, and that is on Steam too.
Excellent. I think it's also on good old games as well, GOG.com, if you want it DRM free, which I generally do if I've got the option. And yeah, I think it's on a couple of other stores as well. But, yeah, that's out there to get.
So that's us. We're all caught up.
I think we are, yeah. So yeah,
So
I've already turned on my PS4. I'm going back to Dark Souls. yeah.
I'm gonna eat some food
Yep.
and also, whilst we're just nattering towards the end, have you watched The Living and the Dead, the BBC gothic horror set in Somerset? Because we live in Somerset, just
We
for the
do.
listeners' benefits,
No, I have
and
not.
it's really, really cool.
Right.
It's really good. It's a really good quality ghost story,
Yep.
and it's absolutely stunning to look at. The cinematography is lovely, and yeah, highly recommend
Wait,
it.
where can I find that to watch?
That is on BBC iPlayer right now. It's
Excellent.
six episodes. So yeah, I don't know. I guess it's coming to BBC America or something. If you see some costume drama set in Somerset, watch it, people, because it's really good.
Well, and maybe we can talk about that next time. We can add that
Yeah.
onto our
Onto our next
list.
time
Yeah.
list.
Well,
Cool. It's good to be back,
it
Drew.
is, yeah. Oh, also, we've got a special podcast coming up, haven't we?
Oh yeah, we
We
do.
do.
Yep. We've got a guest coming, our first ever real proper
Real,
guest.
proper, important guest. And I
Yeah.
think probably it won't be the next episode, but the next episode beyond that.
After that, yeah.
And yeah, that's very exciting. So watch this space or listen to this space. So
Yeah.
whatever it is you do with this
You
space,
do.
we will have more
So,
information next week.
exactly. So that's it. We'd better wrap.
We had.
Until next time.
Cheerio.